Hello, listeners. What's going on, everybody? This is Meg Rand. I'm back with another episode of Matt Mania for your Brainia. I am broadcasting live from New Jersey, somewhere in New Jersey. Had a good time. I am actually heading to Philly tomorrow to continue this tour with Sadistic. And while I'm here, I actually decided to interview Sadistic. This is a jam-packed episode where I put in a lot of different things. First, I took some of my WrestleCon stuff. I talked to Justin Barrasso of Sports Illustrated, who had been nice enough to play the Monday Night Rant tracks every week. I talked to him. I get a little bit of insight, and he gives me the most ridiculous WrestleMania prediction, which didn't come true. So I won't even play it on there because it'll just seem silly. But yeah, maybe I will just play it anyway. But anyway, also me and Teak Hall interviewed Al Snow. So we're going to play that. And then we're going to end off the show with my good friend Sadistic talking all about the tour, talking about his knowledge of wrestling, and even some video game talk. We talk about some Dark Souls and challenging video games and all that stuff. But again, if you are anywhere near us, you need to be coming to our next few shows because they're going to be dope. We're going to be in Philly. We're going to be in Stanhope, New Jersey. We're going to be in Watertown. We are going to be, I'm going to be solo in Ithaca, and then in, what's that other place called? Syracuse, right before I go to PAX East next week with my homie K Murdoch. It's been a blast. I actually got the chance to hang out with K Murdoch and his daughter Stella, who's getting bigger and cuter by the day. Like, she's walking, she's talking, well, she's saying a couple words, she's saying Elmo a whole lot. And it's just so cute, man. It almost makes me want one of my own. I said almost. But anyway, I want to thank you guys for continuing to listen and check out the show. We talked to Al Snow. We talked to Justin Barrasso. And we talked to Sadistic. It is a good old Texas tornado match right here on Matt Mania. We're going to be all over the place. And we're playing some music. So, let's get it on. Ring the bell.
I'm here with Justin of SI. Justin, say what's up.
What's up, everybody?
So, this is Lynx Casey. It's good to finally have you guys in one place together. So, you have been nice enough to talk about our tracks during your weekend wrestling segments on SI, and we appreciate that. Just want to talk to you real quick about what made you even want to get involved with this, sir?
With pro wrestling or with the week Monday Night Raw?
With the Monday Night Raw.
I just thought it was so cool to have somebody who A, cared so much, was that passionate about pro wrestling, and then you there's a lot of projects that sound cool. Then you listen to the music, you listen to the lyrics, and it was amazing. I knew a little bit about you too because Austin had spoke your praise during an interview. I guess that was December, January, somewhere around there.
So.
And he said, check this guy out. So I actually was familiar with some of your work.
Nice.
And then, hearing the songs. I mean, like, I don't know. I like the Brock Lesnar one, but, man, like, I loved the Macho Man piece. And you guys did that together.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just so much stuff. And it's funny. You told me once some people criticized it as an encyclopedia. No, I thought it was, I don't know, the Spectrum watching Savage. It was passion.
Right,
you know?
Right. It was all passion.
It was all passion.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you for seeing that, man.
But I loved the tracks. I'm trying to think what else I liked. I thought the Triple H room was really good because it spanned so much of his career. But I mean, you guys grew up watching this stuff, so it's so much fun to... I feel like the wrestling fan, and one of the reasons I write, the fan who gets forgotten is the one who's been around forever because it's expected we're always going to be there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to take care of that reader or that listener or that person.
Absolutely.
That's who we are.
Absolutely. So how'd you get started in doing this wrestling stuff? Was it journalism, then wrestling, then journalism? How did it all happen for you?
When I was at the paper, I don't know how well it did. I did a paper in my Harvard journalism class on pro wrestling, and I remember my professor saying, what is this? But I went to work for the Boston Herald, and I was working high school sports and some pro sports, and really wanted to cover pro wrestling. So every time I come to Boston, which as a big Boston guy, it was so cool for me, I could tie in a Boston Garden question,
yeah.
And they all lit up with that question. Everybody, whether it was guys on the roster or that wanted to work there, or guys who did work there. I remember Steve Austin lamenting the fact that he didn't work at the Garden, how magical he heard it was. But I kept pushing for wrestling stories and caught the eye of some people at Sports Illustrated. And we're still going. People still read. I remember, it's funny, certain people have told me over time, no one will read that. And the story still posts. So it's, you know, the dirtiest secret in writing is it, you're only as good as your content. And thankfully with pro wrestling, we've got some of the greatest content in the world.
Absolutely. So how long has this been running now, this week in sports and wrestling?
Week in wrestling, only this is the 14th week this Wednesday. So it's pretty new, but I've been with SI for about a year and a half.
Nice.
But the column is new. I didn't want to do a column that was just WWE review. I wanted to do a column kind of like we're doing that touched on women's wrestling.
Oh,
it touched on
over,
people doing
yeah.
cool projects like you guys. Touched on WWE, touched on New Japan, going out to Vegas and covering that show with New Japan and Ring of Honor, touching on Ring of Honor, touching on Lucha
nice.
Underground. So I just want touching on the independent scene. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't a WWE review, because I think if you want that, you can go out there and find it. I wanted to try to find something that wasn't as maybe easily accessible.
That's what I like most about the column, is that it's all over the place. You got a little bit of everything, so you will get everything in one place, which is really cool. So, Lynx, any questions?
What do you think is going to take to cause a new renaissance like it was in 98? Is it going to be, I mean, not to be mean, is it going to be Vince dying or being too senile to run the company? Because it seems like there's a lot of groundswell for, you know, guys like Nakamura and Zayn and all this stuff, but they keep pushing them, keeping them at a certain level. If they actually let them go, as far as they could go, as themselves, do you think it would be Attitude Era levels of recognition all over?
And look at a guy like Cesaro, too. It's interesting how it seems like there is that glass ceiling. But it's funny, though. We talk about, like, to me, it's WrestleMania 17. It's like the you know, the end of the Yankee dynasty when they lost in Arizona that night. Luis Gonzalez get the hit off of Moravana. But after WrestleMania 17, after the death of the WCW, everything changes. Because, I mean, it's funny now. Even the bad WCW ratings at the end,
we're better than this.
They're better than the current day stuff. So I just think, you know, I think competition breeds success. It'll be very interesting, though, the next generation. I don't know how much changes when Vince isn't there, though.
Yeah,
I think
really?
I still think Triple H and Stephanie, we're going to see a lot of the same. I don't know. I'm curious, but I don't think it'll veer too far off course, but I'll be very curious.
I'm just an idiot that thinks they're going to book the main roster like they do NXT.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, exactly. That's
it would
exactly.
be very nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Justin, how do people get in touch with you online or places like that?
I'm at Justin Barrasso on Twitter and jbarrasso@gmail.com. Anybody, some of the nicest parts of the writing are the emails, and there's a couple people I've been emailing for like 2 years. You know what I mean? So it's kind of neat. We just talk wrestling. So everyone, feel free to reach out. I'm never too busy personally to respond, so I'd appreciate it.
That's tight. Lastly, what's your prediction for Reigns versus Triple H?
I got one for you. I tell you, it's going to make headlines on ESPN. It's going to make headlines on TMZ.
Gosh.
The Rock will leave WrestleMania 32 champion.
What?
The Rock will leave his champion.
What?
He knows something.
What?
He's got the scoop.
It makes too much sense not to. You can have, it's like WrestleMania 9 when Yoko beats Hart. Hogan comes out, so Rock will come out, challenge him. Triple H will cut some promo about how he's the best champ. And then the next night, the turn would actually make sense. Reigns would actually turn on Rock the next night. So I'm sticking with that. I think we leave 32. And they've been very quiet about what the Rock's doing for a reason.
They've been very quiet.
They've also been very quiet about what Austin's doing.
Yes. Michaels do.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of those guys leaves champion. But I mean, think of the headlines the Rock would generate for them. And the Rock is true.
That would be huge.
True, genuine Hollywood. Like, and not even Hogan was. I think Hogan's the bigger wrestler. But in terms of Hollywood, nobody's like Dwayne Johnson. In terms of going to pro wrestling, a lot of guys have failed or tried.
Right.
But
they
had a taste. But nobody. I mean, he's box office gold.
Wow. Well, this will air afterwards, and I really hope you're right, though. Thank you so much for your time, Justin. Appreciate you, buddy. All right. Enjoy yourself, man.
Thank you.
All right. Well, there you have it. Part one of our mini-sode is down. Talk to Justin Barrasso of Sports Illustrated, who had an amazing prediction. What do you think about that prediction?
That's too way out there for me, because it doesn't make sense. Why would he be able to just challenge for the title, like, right there? Why would they give
Why was Hogan able to against Yokozuna?
Well, I don't remember the stipulation. I can't say it.
I don't know. He just came out and was like, and Bret Hart was like, well, go ahead and fight him. And he did.
Well, why would Roman, I guess he could say, I couldn't beat
or
Triple H, you go for it.
Or they incapacitate him where he can't compete before the match or something crazy. I don't know.
Look,
it sounds crazy.
Point is this. Rock is under insurance with the movie studios. He couldn't get out of it. He ain't taking bumps beyond giving someone to Rock
He could people's elbow and Rock Bottom someone. That's all he needs to do. That would be amazing, but I don't see it happen.
I don't see it happen.
All right, well, I think I'm going to wrap up this. Well, no, that was a little too short. I'm going to keep walking around. I'm coming back over to Teak Hall. Teak.
What's up, man?
Are you enjoying yourself at WrestleCon?
Man, WrestleCon is awesome. It's been a great experience. I'm happy to be here. All the fans are lovely. They definitely appreciate the craft out here and what's going on.
That's what's up. So you seen anything? Oh, RVD's he's clear. He's actually clear. You seen anything particularly that got you excited?
There's a lot of things out here to get me excited, man. A lot of wrestlers who I grew up watching. I saw Scott Hall today, so that was dope. Yeah. And I saw some crazy stuff out here, too. I just went over to somebody's table, and the Lucha masks that he was selling are ones that he previously wore in the ring.
Wow.
So who wants to wear a mask that somebody's already sweated in?
That's kind of nasty. That's like, you know, that's like the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the ugly, because that's nasty.
Yeah,
I don't want no sweated up mask.
I'm like, that's super fan status right there. Like, oh man.
I'm gonna take your DNA. I'm gonna take your DNA and make a new you. Man, so it's been pretty cool. And seeing the wrestlers is dope, like guys that are doing good and they look well, they look healthy.
Yeah.
Some that don't look so well and healthy, but it's been dope to see, man. Yeah. And to be able to be that close to them is real cool.
Yeah, from seeing the Jake the Snake DVD and seeing how Scott Hall was in a wheelchair and stuff, and now just seeing him in here walking around, that's great to see, you know?
Definitely is, definitely. Okay, so there's been a lot of lines and a lot of money for some of the big name dudes. Who would you spend $100 to take a picture with, see, and get an autograph from?
$100? Man, maybe Scott Hall. I'm not as big of a Shawn Michaels fan as like a super fan, but maybe for him, if it was somebody like Ric Flair or something here, I'd spend $100 on that. I feel like I'd spend 50 tops on somebody.
Nash.
Nash is over there.
Oh, there's Big Sexy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'd pay $100 for something together like that. If I can get Scott Hall and Nash in a picture together,
that'd be kind of dope. That'd be
epic. $100 worthy.
Yeah, get them all doing the joint or something,
yeah,
like pointing
exactly,
at you.
You know,
that'd be dope.
I know this is Lucha Underground kind of. Is Vampiro here?
I don't
I
know.
Seen him. I saw Conan.
Conan.
Conan is Rey Mysterio's manager.
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, so he's over there. But I haven't seen Vampiro. I wonder if he's out here. So something like that would be
like
dope.
That, or you know how they got Drago and Pentagon over there. Or if I could have got like Prince Puma and Pentagon in a picture together, like rivalry type thing.
Yeah.
I think that would have been $100 worthy, but I don't know, man.
Otherwise, nah.
Nah. And definitely not paying that $300 price tag for Shawn Michaels.
No, I can't believe there was a line all day for Shawn Michaels for $300 autographs and photos. Shawn Michaels would have to come to my house and cook.
Shawn Michaels would have to come to my house and super kick my mama.
No, he just had to live with me for a few days. Like, yo, we going to roll together for a week.
You're going to be my
me and Shawn
guard.
Michaels, we rolling.
Like, Sweet Chin music on command.
Like, yo, I don't like him. Get him. Pow! For real.
Who are you most excited to see, man?
Honestly, Rey Mysterio is exciting. I haven't seen Kurt Angle, but I heard he was here.
Like, did he leave already?
Yeah, we might have missed him. Like, guys like that excite me. Shawn is exciting to see. I don't know
he
if I would.
He was exciting to see. I was like, oh, wow, there's Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Until I heard
like,
$300. And I
but
was
to
like,
pay for like that? That's
I'll
crazy.
I'll go home and watch the DVDs.
How much do you think Nash is hitting for?
Probably up there.
Let's go find out.
Nash wasn't that expensive. I took a picture with him, actually talked to him for a while, and we had a good time. And he was a really good sport. So I want to give Kevin Nash props because a lot of those guys were not great sports. Scott Norton. Anyway, I'm going to take your name out of my song. Anyway. But another guy that was super cool was Al Snow, and I got some great words with him. We fumbled and bumbled in the beginning. He gave me some weird answers, but then by the end, I had a really, really great convo, and he dropped some jewels, son. Like mic drop worthy jewels about the wrestling business and his opinions on it. So, what does everybody want? Answers. Here we go.
Hey, party people, it's Kate Murdoch here, and I want to talk to you about something real fresh, real new that myself and Megaran are doing now, and it involves you. The fans, myself and Megaran just launched a Patreon, a monthly way for you all to subscribe to us and what we do For as little as $1 a month, you'll get free exclusive downloads, a guaranteed song a month, and if you pledge at the $10 level, you'll get a free project a month, whether it be something we do together, whether it's something solo, a side project that I engineer or produce, it's guaranteed exclusive for you Patreon supporters. So, if you really like what we do, then this is the time to get down and join us. We are trying to bring back that Nintendo Fun Club vibe because this is essentially a fan club for the real fans. So, check it out, patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. That's patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. And now back to your regularly scheduled program. Thank you.
All right. Al Snow, how you doing, sir?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. This is WrestleCon. Is this your first WrestleCon? Or?
No, I'm not a virgin to the WrestleCon. My cherry's been popped years ago.
Nice. Okay, this is my first, and this has been fun.
Well, we'll be gentle with you.
Nice, nice. Al, how is life after wrestling?
When, you know, your hair pulled.
I don't always like it gentle.
Like that, you know.
So, in generally.
I don't know what that is, you know, why women seem to get off all that stuff nowadays, but you know,
some people are into
it. Beat them up if they want. Knock the shit out of them.
Okay. Damn, I just lost all my questions. All right, so, okay, life after wrestling. Fun?
I don't
boring?
Know. I don't
cool.
know yet. I haven't had life after wrestling yet because I'm still wrestling, but when it comes, it'll probably suck ass, I'm sure.
I would imagine.
Nothing compared to what I do right now. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
It is awesome. I mean, I feel like...
still in great shape, man. We saw you yesterday, and we've been talking to, like, the past 2 days. Like, man, Al Snow looks great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
There are some guys, you know, you've been here. There are some guys that, you know...
Yeah.
Time is not kind to them.
Well, no.
Well, I figure, so when, okay, when, I guess I'm saying like WWE days, Attitude Era, Head days, you didn't necessarily have the physique, but was that more of the character you were playing that you felt like wasn't necessarily fitting for the physique that you have now? Do you feel like that would have worked still, or is that a...
Sure, yeah.
It's a weird question,
that's exactly
but...
exactly what happened.
Okay, okay.
I don't know, I just... late bloomer, I guess.
Really, really. So is it something that, cause I know I have a lot of friends who aren't necessarily into like weights and things, and then later on in life they kind of get into it. Was that something that happened where you just were like?
No, I've worked out since I was 16.
Nice, nice, nice.
I think I just changed how I approach working out. And also how I eat.
So. And you got better results, obviously.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
That's the thing. That type of stuff takes some time to find out what's going to work for you, how to mix diet and exercise.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people do a lot of cardio, and they say it makes them skinny fat. You're slim, but you don't got the tone and things, you know?
All right. Last question is always a big one. I always like to talk about the call or the aha moment that people get where they know that this is what they're going to be doing for the rest of their life. Do you have a moment where you knew, like, all right, this is me forever?
Yeah, I was 14.
14.
And I made a conscious decision that this was what I was going to do.
Was it after watching something, experiencing something, taking a first bump, maybe?
Watched it, and I watched it, and I had always watched it when I was a kid, very young kid and everything like that. Then I was in Ohio where the Sheik's, original Sheik's territory
yeah.
was. It went off TV for a period of time, and then it came back on TV with Georgia Championship Wrestling, and I watched it, and I was like, that's it. That's what I'm going to do.
Were you able at that time at 14 to get into it or make those steps to do it, or was it not?
No, no, no. Listen, let me explain something, okay? And this is the truth. The degradation of the professional wrestling business is the fault of the fact that anybody can get into it. Back then, it was easier, and people think I'm exaggerating, to be a main man in the mafia than it was to become a professional wrestler. Because not everyone was allowed in it, and not everyone was privy to information about it, because then everybody now puts their opinion about something that they know nothing about.
Yes.
Thus, it gets ruined. It's like watching a tennis game. It's amazing to watch two high-caliber athletes play a tennis game. Now let's take two more people out of the stands and put them on the court. Game gets completely screwed.
Yep.
Now more people out of the stands get on the court. There's no more tennis game.
I totally
it's a mess.
Understand what you're saying.
It's ruined.
Watering down.
That is what wrestling has become. When I was trying to get in, I spent years calling and begging and pleading different people to betray me. And because they were held personally responsible for whatever I did in my career, not too many people were too willing to do it. Finally found a guy when I was 18 and graduated high school and went from there. But and then after that, it never stops.
Wow. Well, I see the similarities in music. We do music, so it's the same thing.
The guy who finally decided to train you, man, because the character Al Snow, the whole head, the Attitude Era wrestling that I grew up on, man, you were definitely great.
Thank you very much, guys.
Absolutely. It's a huge part of our upbringing and what we got into.
Yeah, I'm doing wrestling-themed music, and people tell me that my music reminds them of the Attitude Era of wrestling. So it's definitely something that I hold dear.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For your time, as well as your dedication to your craft. So thank you.
Just warming up.
This is 183rd Street.
Dizzle. DadPip.com, world premiere. Ringside for the next chapter.
Right.
Daddy cool, rolling some Grandmaster.
Right.
Any matchup, you gonna need backup to catch us. Smooth niggas, cool as Alaska. Inherited crown, the do-rags are central. Brian Chris flow, shit, my daddy's a king too. Sharp as a Ginsu, I murder the beat. You pop shit, get approach and try to worm off the beat. You're not a earner, you're weak. Turn up the furnace, how you burning your sheets? Fucking punk, you like Kermit to me. I headlock, flying legs, drop dominantly. Wrestle rap, we reign prominent, B. Whole never species, model for Ricardo TC. Big ass, she throw around like Rikishi. Pause, Blake Pounds, make sure I get PC off. With the gas, I'm like BP, dog.
This is Mega Ran, and I'm here with a good friend of mine who will be joining me on tour for this next, I don't know, week, two, seven? I don't know what's going on. But we're out in the middle of New Jersey, and right now he's playing with a knife. it's not quite as weird as it sounds, but almost as weird as it sounds. I have my friend Sadistic next to me. Sadistic, say what's up.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. I figure we're all sitting here. I was working on an episode, and you were here, and I was like, hey, what do you know about wrestling? And you were like, not a whole lot.
And I was like, not enough.
And I was like, cool, but you got a cool knife, so let's talk. So I was like, let's talk. But anywho, so real quick, we are on the Morning Glory tour. That's where we are. I guess you could say we're somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Sorta. Yeah.
Yeah,
probably
we're
about right in the middle.
Yeah, we're like in the middle spot. This is like right where I'm joining. I joined last night in Baltimore, and I'll be playing a couple of gigs with you guys. And so I just wanted to know, how's the tour been going so far?
So far, it's been great, man. We've kind of had the full spectrum of like not being sure what to expect from certain shows, but it's been great. And some cities really turned out that I had no expectations for. Or I didn't know what would happen. And
nice. That's always good. I think that's part of the tour life. I notice is the surprises, and it's always key to kind of keep an open mind, I think.
Yeah, anytime I feel like I think I know what's going to happen, I get like ego checks. So I just kind of keep an open mind and see what happens.
I tell anybody my first piece of advice for touring is to just keep your ego and expectations in check. And because it's short memory. It's like football where a quarterback throws an interception.
Yeah.
And it's like you got to just block it out. Bad show or amazing show.
Yeah.
You got to just complete.
Or you get them back to back where you just have some amazing show, you're feeling yourself, and then it's like, then the next one is an ego check.
Ego check, bow, yeah. Two people. Nah.
But ego checks are good too. There's definitely a lot to learn from those two.
They absolutely are. Okay, I want to talk really quick about your stage setup. This is the first time I've seen you play on this tour. I've seen you before.
Oh, cool.
But with the lighting and stuff, I thought it was super dope.
Oh, thanks,
like,
man.
So maybe we can explain a little bit about what went into the lighting decision and with the mic and all the cool stuff you got going on. Like, what led to that?
I just, mood and tone are like very important to me with anything I make with my music. And so I really want that reflected in the live show. And so just for this one, brought a few extra little stage lights. I usually ask them to kind of kill the house to kind of give this like silhouette creature look or whatever. And I have my own little unique mic that I've never really seen any rappers use. It kind of has its own lights and stuff. And so it just adds this extra little, aesthetic to it.
It's super cool, man.
I want to really build on that though eventually, like especially once I can like afford to really turn ideas into fruition,
Nice.
I think lighting and like physical presentation is so huge.
It is. It really is. I think And that's something I've always looked into, but just never quite been able to execute the way I wanted to on my shoestring budget.
Yeah,
but
it's like, expensive. It's so expensive to do. People are always like, oh, yo, just make a video for a projector. And it's like, it's not that easy all the time.
Not quite that easy. But anyway, I am excited to be playing these shows with you, so I appreciate being a part of it. There's also
Thanks, man. I'm
Weird
so
Science.
To have you here.
There's also Upgrade.
Yep.
Who I've just gotten introduced to, who's almost as big of a nerd as me. And so real quick, I want to nerd out with you. You were just watching a preview, or maybe a review video of a certain game.
Yeah.
What game was that, and why the hell are you into this game?
Dark Souls 3.
Oh,
like,
man.
I'm a dilettante to the Dark Souls series, but like, but I like the meanness of it. Like I was telling you, it reminds me so much of like the a lot of the games I played when I was a kid that I still love, like the Super Ghouls and Ghosts and Contras and games that were like so challenging and they just beat my ass, and then I would just keep playing it over and over and then have to rent it again to try to get past a certain part, and like and I missed that. And so a lot of games now they have so many amazing dynamics and stories and visuals, and but a lot of them just kind of like lead you through it.
Yeah.
Where I just kind of fell in love with Bloodborne's like difficulty.
Man, Bloodborne, I never like snapped a CD before of a game that I pretty paid money for, but I really wanted to do that with
it's
that
just
game.
Like it's like Tyson on Punch Out for like hours and hours.
Yeah, it's just like punching you in the face constantly. Like, you can't beat me. It's so merciless.
I like that. I miss that challenge, and I say that until sometimes I'm playing and it fucking pisses me off and I want to throw things. But like,
and you're like,
yeah, but it's I like that they're ballsy enough to do that. You know,
I know it's like, man, you know, to make a game these days when pretty much every game is like you said, they're walking you through it.
Yeah,
it's a very simple, you know, thing to get from A to B. They've spent a lot of money on.
Yeah, it's like it's designs. Like walk through it, or so there's like an exploration element to it.
Yeah,
those kind of seem like the two.
Yeah. So I've been playing a game I was telling you about called Salt and Sanctuary, which is a 2D version of Dark Souls. So it plays exactly like a Castlevania.
Oh, it's
you know,
shit.
It's
I love
super
Castlevania.
Fun. And but it's just merciless. So, you know, play it at your own risk, I would say, anybody listening, but it's
definitely
super
I
fun.
Play that.
But
Super Castlevania 4 is one of my favorite games of all time.
Oh,
like,
man, dude, when the room rotated for the first time.
Yeah,
my jaw dropped.
Level 4.
Yes.
Yeah, it slows down when you're jumping and shit because like the it's
yeah,
like
couldn't handle it.
It was like pushing the Super Nintendo. Like that whole
dude,
level's bananas. Dude.
The whole level was insane. I was playing that the other day.
And then you play the giant guy who gets like bigger and then smaller at the end. Like that's so
oh
sick.
Oh my god, I remember that when that room rotates, man. I was just like, what?
The
am I
the
doing?
Music was dope. Like
insane.
Everything about that game.
You know, and I haven't been able to get that feeling again, but I think that, you know, Dark Souls, Salt Sanctuary, and Bloodborne have kind of brought that back, you know? Like, there should be some super hard, merciless games, you know?
I mean, because there's clearly a market for it. There are people who want the challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm glad they don't drop you in, like, press,
there's
press
no
X
one,
to jump.
Yeah,
press.
There aren't many one-player challenges. Like, there are certainly challenging games, but it's more like the esports competitive end of it, where it's like it's a fighting game or it's a shooting game or whatever it is, and like but like actually beating the campaign it seems like an afterthought for a lot of series, and I like the campaign so
much. Yeah, I do. I really enjoy the campaign, and a friend of mine gave me a Call of Duty, and I don't play those games too much, but I did play the campaign, and then I turn it off because I can't go online. I get destroyed.
It's such a steep learning curve.
So,
it's like,
but
just
it's
mopped up by 10-year-olds.
But it's not super difficult, the actual game, so it's just more or less watching the story progress.
Yeah.
So I like that part of the game, and it's like it seems like people just don't like it. So they're already on multiplayer.
Yeah.
So by the time I get into multiplayer, 10-year-olds are blowing my head off, you know, so... but it's tough, but it's been fun so far just playing through the campaign mode of it.
Yeah, it's like it's hard to get both. You know, you can get like BioShock has amazing series and all these or amazing story and all these cool nuances and stuff like that, but it's like you're not going to get that multiplayer side whereas like Titanfall or Halo or whatever, it's like the multiplayer is really dope and competitive, but that's all you're getting is that one kind of sport of it. You're not getting the story.
Absolutely. And it's rare to find a balance. So now I want to bring that challenge aspect to music. And what challenges you to continue to make music and to push yourself and to keep creating? Like, where's the challenge at this point?
I feel like I want to outdo whatever my last one was. I want it to be better. Like, I want to be able to make a stack of albums and look at it in order and go, like, the most recent one in some way at least has, like, topped the others, you know?
And, yeah, I totally agree with that. And I try to do that myself. I feel like the competition should be, you know, what you consider to be your best work at one time.
Yeah, I mean, who else are you going to compete with, you know?
You gotta compete with the man in
America. It's so subjective, you know, and what's more subjective than your own work? Like,
yeah, that's real, man. Okay, and I have to ask the typical question of what's next? Are you working on, or you have any idea about the next project that...
My next record's in its final phases. I don't know when it's coming out or the details of it or anything. Mm-hmm. I just know that I feel really strongly about it. I really, nice. Really like it. And I feel like I'm hitting some of the targets I was aiming for creatively.
Dope. Okay, cool. Now, we had a really quick... And it was super quick. Talk about wrestling before we started.
Yeah.
So really quickly, since this is basically a wrestling and kind of shoot the breeze podcast, just give us a little bit of your wrestling connection story, because it was very similar to mine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I was saying is that when I was a kid, I didn't really give wrestling much of a chance. And my father used to watch it a lot, and he'd always play it off, though. Like, oh, this is silly. There's nothing else on. But he'd watch it pretty consistently, and he'd always, like, give me an excuse if he'd be watching it. So I never really, like, paid too much attention to it. But now that I'm older and I see some of the characters, you know, and shit, and it's like, this is awesome. It's just like characters out of Predator, or like action movies or video games. Yeah. It's like they just took someone out of Double Dragon and threw him in real life, and it's like... It's cool, and they're rappers. They're just like these cool. It's like, which personality do you like? Do you like the villain? Do you like this guy? You know, like
they really are. A couple of my buddies, we make reference to a lot of wrestling terms when it comes to rappers. Like, who's the bad guy? Who's the good guy?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Who makes that turn? You know,
exactly.
Like, and people do it. You know, like guys get more successful, and
it's the same thing in rap. Some people are like, I don't fuck with this guy. He's too preachy. I don't like the good guy. Or sometimes people are like, yo, that's too dark or too weird or misogynistic or whatever you want to say. Like, I don't like this guy. So
it's so similar, man.
Yeah.
So that's great. But I would suggest if you have any time to watch any wrestling, the one that captures that the best is called Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
So Lucha Underground takes, you know, suspends all the disbelief stuff and just saying, you know what, we live in a comic book world. We're going to just have fun with the fantasy.
Yeah.
So these guys are just going all in.
And that's what I didn't understand as a kid.
Yeah.
Now that I go, oh, everyone's in on it. You know,
right,
when
right.
I was a kid, I was like, is this real? I was trying to, like, figure it out, which is, like, obviously silly because it's not supposed to be figured
out. Yeah, you're not supposed to figure it out. So, yeah.
It's like medieval times or something.
Yeah, it's like a
restaurant.
It's a lot of fun. And these guys are like, you know, there's like a mystery power that's controlling this one wrestler to go around breaking people's arms.
Really?
And things like that. And you have to try, and he's trying to figure out who's controlling him. And he finds out that it's a test from one of the other wrestlers who was secretly under the mask. And he's like, well, you've passed your test. Now you have to break my arm, too.
Yeah. And then their speeches are so hot. And then they got Vince McMahon, like the big evil corporate guy. And, like, it's cool. Like,
it's a living comic book. I mean, I think, and not to mention all the similarities with music I've seen, you know, within it that's gotten me really into it. So
I feel like Riff Raff will probably be a wrestler eventually.
Dude, you might actually be on to something. He's already in, like, Twitter wars with this wrestler, Kurt Angle. So,
oh, really? Yeah.
So I don't know if it's going to happen.
I could very much see him jumping into that.
Oh, man. Wow. All right. So we are going to go, but I want to, as always, have my guests suggest a song. So this time, I could say, normally I would say play a song that mentions a wrestler. In this case, I'm going to, or, you know, or a wrestling move or a wrestling something.
Wait.
Because there's so many songs that do that. So,
does the genre matter?
Can you?
No, not at all.
Two songs come to mind. Okay. Number one, one of the greatest hip hop songs of all time, Be a Man Hulk by Macho
Be
Randy
a Man.
Man.
Hulk.
Your pay-per-view was a joke, because you know you'll get smoked.
Yes! Yes!
That's hot.
What I love about that is he takes shots at Hogan because his movies were B-movies, and because
he had a spot. Bro, Santa with muscles? That's my favorite wrestling thing, is Santa with muscles. That's my biggest wrestling opinion.
And at the time, he had gotten into, he guest starred, Savage did, in Spider-Man.
And so he's like, you see me in Spider-Man on the big screen. Your movies are in the 99 cent bin. You know, and so like, it's like, yeah, like that's next level beef.
Yeah.
Like, your movie doesn't that gross as much as mine. So you said a second one comes
and then away? The other one that comes to mind is like on the total opposite end of that spectrum is a song called The Wrestler by Lott Kestner, this singer that I've worked with a lot. She's one of my favorite artists, but it's this very like just beautiful soft song of hers.
That's dope.
Total right. opposites. Maybe someone should mash that up.
Total opposites. Go for it.
Some asshole on the internet's doing it right now, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're working on it now.
Yeah.
All right, so I got to...
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood officer, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward. I'm digging it down. Hulk Hogan, you set it off.
Turn it off.
Who's the game hard, Hulk? Now you done turns off. Doing telephone commercials, I seen ya. Dancing and tight as a ballerina. I do want to know you had those tendencies. Cause you've been running from Machu like I got a disease. Dude, please, your pay-per-view event was a joke. You're avoiding Randy Savage cause you know you can smoke. Come on, that phony fight the rock's brain too fast. But when I challenge Hogan to a real fight, he passed. I called him out, but the punk was scared to go. It was a charity event, but the Hulk didn't show. Hollywood Hulk, you're at the end of your rope. And I'ma kick you in the butt and wash your mouth, I will show. Cause, like Rodney Dangerfield, you get no respect. So come on, Hulk, let's wreck so I can put you in check.
Be a man, Hulk.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from Macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan.
Come on, don't be a chump. I never thought Hulk would go wild like a pump.
Be a man, Hulk.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from Macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan.
Boy, you's a chump. Cause Hulk Hogan is a real big pump.
They call you Hollywood. Don't make me laugh. Cause your movies and your acting skills are both crap. Your movie straight the video, the box office can't stand. While I got myself a feature role in Spider-Man. You hide the man, but when I find you, it's gone. And when I slam it to the dirt, you wish you was never born. I smell a coward, is that you, Hogan?
This is the man, the myth, the legend, Jack Evans from the heavens, and I just wanted to inform you that your ears are currently being blessed by none other than Matt Mania.
Sleeping. My heart. fight.